December of 2015. The committee is a volunteer group who, in light of a tremendous election year, has been meeting diligently for up to five times a week since the beginning of the year to organize these forums to educate the community. The mission statement of this committee is to influence the political process in a manner that promotes and stimulates sustainable economic growth in Sublette County, Wyoming. I'd like to thank the members of the committee first for their interest, dedication, and commitment over the last several months. Kathy Anderson, Stephen Crane, Jackie Downey, Sylvia Harbor, Josh Hatton, Melinda Holscher, Sarah Hunt, Carrie Mahanovich, Dave Smith, Loretta Welsh, and Jennifer Zook. And I'd like to thank Debbie Wysegis, the Chamber's membership and events coordinator as well. She's done a lot of work behind the scenes to help us get this thing off the ground. The questions that we're going to be asking the candidates throughout these forums, we started to narrow them down by a survey to the Chamber membership. We have 250 members countywide, and so the survey went out to about 450 contacts all over the county. So with their feedback back, we were able to narrow down kind of the main topics of concern throughout constituents in the county. After that survey, you know, we interviewed sitting commissioners. We offered an email for the public to send their feedback to. And we also hosted a Mugs and Mornings event on July 15th to welcome the public to offer their feedback that way. A question subcommittee was formed, and they worked hard with all of that feedback to narrow down the questions that we'll ask tonight. With the common goal to educate our voters, this forum would not have been possible without our partners. Bob Rule with K-Pine, Don Ballew from Pinedale Online and Office Outlet, Stephen Crane from Wyoming Newspapers, and Patrick Rukas and Chris Rule with the Sublette County School District No. 1. The forum will be radio broadcast live on K-Pine, and it's also being live streamed on YouTube. And the link can be found at sublettechamber.com and eventually on pinedaleonline.com. Lastly, I just want to mention a box with note cards out in the lobby. If you have any questions you'd like considered for the general forums, please submit them if you can sneak out for a minute tonight and put those in there. Lastly, I just want to thank all of our candidates for taking the time to participate tonight and for their commitment to Sublette County. Good luck.
And in keeping with the spirit of the event, we'll go ahead and stand up and give a Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. And I certainly want to thank you for the opportunity on behalf of the local media partners. As Rachel mentioned, Bob Rule with K-Pine and Don Ballew with Pinedale Online. Certainly we as media representatives share in a similar mission of an informed public. And an added layer, given the election year, is an informed voter. So I certainly appreciate all of you for showing up, putting forth the effort to be informed. And most of all, I appreciate you all as candidates throwing your hat into the ring. This is a pivotal election year, clearly going from 3 to 5. Happy to see from one end of the stage to the other that we have a lot of candidates to choose from, and we appreciate your willingness to run. I'd like to introduce the candidates, starting with Dr. Burnett, who is a Republican candidate. Next, we have Kendra Cross, a Democrat candidate. Next, we have Tammy Crossan, a Republican candidate. Mr. Richard Griffin, a Republican candidate. Tim Lingle, a Democratic candidate. Kara Losick, a Republican candidate. Tom Noble, a Republican candidate. Mac Rawhauser, a Republican candidate. Kristen Rourke, a Republican candidate. Courtney Skinner, a Democratic candidate. and Mr. Doug Vickery, a Republican candidate. Now, given the logistical challenges of having 11 candidates on the stage tonight, tonight will be an exercise in brevity, as I'm sure all of the candidates are not looking forward to. That said, we will be ensuring that everyone sticks to the clock. We have a master timer in the center. We also have two holding signs on either end of the stage. We respectfully ask that you stick to the clock, be courteous throughout the evening, and be mindful of that clock. We do not, as moderators, want to be rude, but we will be. That said, I also want to remind the audience that we do have a radio audience tuning in. That said, you will get some redundancy when we're asking questions. We will be repeating the name of the person who just answered before we move on to the next candidate to answer the question. Also, if you don't mind, now is a good time to make sure that your cell phones are either muted or turned off. Turned off is wonderful. Muted is okay. And now I'll go ahead and hand the microphone off to my esteemed co-moderator, Mrs. Loretta Welch.
Thank you. My name is Loretta Welch, and I'll be co-moderating tonight. I just want to give the audience, as well as the radio audience, a rundown of how this is going to work. We are going to alternate asking the candidates questions. Stephen will ask a question, and then I will ask a question. Each candidate will get an opportunity to answer one question first, and we will start with Dr. Burnett. He will get the first opportunity to answer the first question first. Then we will move on through all the candidates so that everyone has an opportunity to answer that question before we move on to the second question. And then we'll start with Ms. Cross. She'll answer the second question first, and then so on. And for the radio audience, they're seated in alphabetical order, so we're going to go in alphabetical order for that. Each candidate will have 40 seconds to answer each question, and Stephen's already explained that we have timers to watch out for. And we're going to start with opening statements. After five questions, there will be a brief intermission, and then we'll ask the remaining questions with the remainder of the time for the forum. So, without further ado, we will have Dr. Burnett start with his opening statement. And I would also like to just say that opening statements are 1 minute long. Thank you.
Good evening and welcome to tonight's forum. Thank you for your attendance. I am Dr. David Burnett, and I have practiced family medicine in Sublette County for 27 years. I have been on the school board of District Number 9 for 24 years and have served as chairman for 7 years. With this experience in board function and operations, I think I have developed fiscal expertise, communication, and analytical skills, as well as leadership abilities required for the office of county commissioner. Now more than ever, I think it's important for our county to have leadership and experience to ensure that we still have or maintain the wide variety of services for the county. Thank you, and I appreciate your vote on August 16th.
Thank you, Dr. Burnett. Ms. Cross.
Hi, thank you everyone for being here tonight. The activity this season of voters has been inspiring, and I think that's what it takes for our county and for our nation to become the best that it can be. That is why I'm running. I grew up here between Sublette County and Sweetwater counties. I spent many summers in these mountains, and these mountains shaped me, formed me, and this place I consider sacred, and when you consider something sacred, you protect it, and you will work for it, and you'll work for your community that lives here, the people that live here, my family, my friends. I believe that I am here in the perfect time in my life. I have an education in business and political science. I will absolutely work towards the seniors and children in our community, as well as for the future prosperity of everybody here. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cross. Ms. Crossen?
Thank you. First, I want to thank all the organizations who've come together to put on this forum. I think it's a great opportunity for engagement and to be informed for the upcoming primary and general election. I have thought about becoming a commissioner for the last 2 years. It's been a long road. I have spoken with past current commissioners. I've attended the majority of commissioner meetings for the last 2 years. I have even gone to the early morning breakfast meetings with the industry leaders and governmental leaders that we have in our community. I've talked with state officials as well as outside our county to see what they have in store as far as a vision and opportunity for Sublette County. I want to serve Sublette County by bringing vision, accountability, budget restraint, and integrity to the office. We have many opportunities ahead of us if we just make the right decisions now. I appreciate your vote, and I'm here to answer questions for you after this is done. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Crossan. Mr. Griffin?
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank everybody that's here tonight. It's good to see all the people show up and the meet and greets. The people who came was pretty nil, so I'm glad to see you here, and I thank you for your participation. I'm a family man. I have 6 children. I've been married for 31 years, and I have 11 grandchildren. I'm running for commissioner because I've been concerned about some of the issues that people have talked to me about over the last couple of years. I've attended quite a few of the meetings and watched the commission as they enact the things that involve all the people of this community. Hopefully I can keep my answers simple and straightforward. I'm just the average guy wanting to represent the average people. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Griffin. Mr. Lingle.
Hi, everyone. I'm Tim Lingle, running for county commission as a Democrat. I switched parties last fall when I saw the train wreck of what a party I'd been a part of for 25 years. And after serving 2 years with Mayor Trump and on my 4-year term on town council, I thought that it was time to be in a more progressive party. So I'm hoping to bring some of the same things I brought to town council to the county commission. I fought hard for the public and the little guy, and from everything from, you know, increasing of water rates to, you know, trying to get playgrounds built, to funding our nonprofits. Those are things I strongly believe in, that we build communities around here, and everyone should be heard equally. So I hope to bring that to the county commission. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Lingle. Ms. Losick.
11 politicians in a room, some people would say we're off to a bad start. But I'm Kara Losick, and I grew up here in Sublette County, second generation. In my time here in Sublette County, of course, being born and raised, I love this county, and it's been my pleasure to serve this county. I have built 2 multi-million dollar businesses up from the ground level, and I served as accountant for both. I've also served as the treasurer for the Cattlemen's Association. And I currently sit on the Sublette County Rec Board. I also have a lot of municipal experience. I've worked with the town of Pinedale. I currently work for the town of Big Piney and believe in a certain amount of budget restraint. Being a cattle rancher for 20 years, sticking tight to a budget is something very important to me. But I would appreciate your support and vote on August 16th and hope that everyone would reach out and contact me if they have questions.
Thank you, Ms. Losick. Mr. Noble.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you for coming. As everybody said, I would like to recognize my wife and 2 perfect children. They're my best supporters. If they'd please stand. They're my best helpers. On that aside, it's a big year because we're going to 5. We just need to get 5 people that get along, and that reflects on the voters. So you guys have got a tough decision. My interests are for you people, not my own. I have no motive. I'm here just to help. Been on the zoning board for 5 years, roughly. Don't keep track. Everything's went good there, I feel. Time flies when you're up here. I appreciate your vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Noble. Mr. Rawhauser.
Good evening. I'm Mac Rawhauser. I'm a 40-year resident of Sublette County, a Vietnam veteran, a retired school teacher of 34 years, presently a board member in Sublette School District Number 9 of 6 years. I have been a representative for the Wyoming School Boards Association for Region 5, which is southwest Wyoming. I've been on the Wyoming High School Activities Board. I've been the chairman of the Rec Board. I have also been, at presently, I am the vice chairman of the Region 5 BOCES in Jackson. So that being said, I know what it takes to be on a board, and I am Mr. One Vote. So you have to work with other people to get things done, and I'm willing to do that for the people of Sublette County. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rawhauser. Ms. Rourke.
My name is Chris Rourke, and I know quite a few of you. My husband and Chris and I moved from Texas 25 years ago. I worked with Dr. Tom Johnston in the old Pinedale Clinic, and I've worked in the old Big Piney Clinic and the new Big Piney Clinic and the new Pinedale Clinic. I would like to be a liaison, a medical liaison with the commissioners, but I'm not a one-item candidate. I know budgets. I know contracts. I'm fairly smart and willing to learn, having been elected to the Sublette County Rural Health Care Clinic, board. You all probably know that we appear on the front page quite often. It has been not easy, and one of my mottos for board work is it a need or is it a want? And at this time, with our decreased funding, it has to be a need. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rourke. Mr. Skinner.
Good evening. I'm Courtney Skinner, and along with others, I'm no stranger to the podium here, running for county commissioner. 2 years ago, I made a statement in the park that I'd been very fortunate to have grown up in Sublette County. I had got to do a lot of things, my education and working with my brothers and exploring the mountains. But there were a couple things I hadn't gotten accomplished. One of them was riding the Green River Drift with Albert Summers, and the other one serving as your county commissioner. Now, I've added since that time several things to that list, and I am seeking your vote as a county commissioner because, as you can see, this time there will be five, an unheard-of thing in Sublette County, five commissioners to lead you forward, and I want to be one of those.
Thank you, Mr. Skinner. Mr. Vickery.
Thank you. I grew up in the LaBarge, Marbleton, Big Piney area and graduated from Big Piney High School. My wife Linda and I are the proud parents of two children, Mike and Nicole, four grandchildren and, yes, two great-grandchildren. Over the years, I've been fortunate to put in 54 years of being associated with boards of some sort. Currently, I am on the board of directors of the Pinedale Rodeo Club. I serve as one of the five air quality advisory board members. I have been associated with the Green River Cattlemen's Association for too many years. My wife Linda and I own our own ranch, and we have been there in Daniel for 29 years. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Vickery. I'm now going to pass the microphone over to Mr. Crane to start with the first question.
And as Ms. Welch said earlier, we'll go ahead and start with you, Dr. Burnett. Move down the row, and then come second round, second question, we'll start with you, Ms. Cross. So, Dr. Burnett, can you describe for me the current relationship between the county commissioners and the town of Pinedale? And what is one concrete way that you would maintain or improve that relationship?
The county commissioners have an obligation to work with municipalities across the county. I am not certain about the direct relationship with the current town, but I think it's imperative in government that we have different forms of governance collaborating with one another to problem solve. I think that in all of these relationships, there's probably room for improvement.
Thank you, Dr. Burnett. And Ms. Cross, how would you describe the current relationship between the county commissioners and the town of Pinedale, and what's a way to maintain or improve that relationship?
As a county commissioner, I see the role as a public servant. We are in service here. And as you act in service, you're going to build trust with your partners, with your working relationships, with your community. With that trust comes cooperation, and with cooperation comes growth and progress. And so service is my number one outlook here in this role, and that is what I will bring to the commission. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cross. Ms. Crossen, how would you describe the current relationship between the county and the town of Pinedale, and what's a way to maintain or improve that relationship?
Well, I can tell you, going out and talking with constituents out there, they're a little concerned about that right now because there's not a lot of communication or cooperation from their standpoint. I don't perchance see that as much, but as a commissioner, it's my job to make sure that we get full cooperation and provide, I mean, we do have to have trust there. And I believe that we need to work with all entities, whether it be committees, whether it be council. I think one of the ways we can improve that is to attend most of the meetings and be invited to some of maybe the strategic meetings that they have and the planning meetings. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Crossen. And Mr. Griffin, can you describe the current relationship between the county and the town of Pinedale, and what's a way to maintain or improve that relationship?
Well, being from Big Piney, I don't know as much about the Pinedale Town Council, but I can tell you from sitting on the, you know, in the meetings with the commissioners, it appears that there's not much interaction from what I see at the meetings. And I think, as Tammy said, you have to be able to communicate back and forth. And I think the way to fix that is to attend each other's meetings, know what's going on in the other part of the county.
Thank you, Mr. Griffin. And Mr. Lingle, how would you describe the relationship between the county and the town of Pinedale, and what's a way to maintain or improve that relationship?
It's a total disaster. Having served on the council, you know, I think one person is solely responsible for the disaster, and that's not the commission. However, and at the same time, we the council, in a 4-1 vote, and I was a dissenting vote, voted to dissolve the Joint Powers Board, which was one of the key ways that we could communicate and work with the county, and they got rid of it over my objection. So I think that primarily we just need to continue working with the county and keep doors open. I strive to do that. I attended a lot of council or commission meetings and made a lot of phone calls to them, even though they probably grew tired of hearing from me. So thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Lingle. And Ms. Losick, how would you describe the relationship between the county and the town of Pinedale, and what's a way you would maintain or improve that relationship?
I agree with Mr. Lingle that there has been some problems this last year with some of the dynamics, but I also have to remind myself that the commission, the town councils, all of these change, you know, and sometimes you just have to weather it, and yet people still need to get involved and stay involved. Something I like to think about in when serving is never underestimate the power of visiting in person and uniting with other people to amplify your voice. I think that's one thing that they could maybe do to improve their relationship.
Thank you, Ms. Losick. Mr. Noble, describe the relationship between the county and the town of Pinedale, and what's a way to maintain or improve that relationship?
The great thing about an election is you get to move forward. That's my goal, not to dwell on what's the problem. I get along with everybody in a speaking manner.
I have no problem getting along with the current town administrators. I think my goal is to move forward positively, and that can happen, and we have that chance with three new people on the county commissioner board.
Thank you, Mr. Noble. And Mr. Rawhauser, how would you describe the relationship between the county and the town of Pinedale? What's a way to maintain or improve that relationship?
The county commissioners are charged with taking care of the county. Now, the community of Pinedale falls under that over that umbrella of the county commissioners. And the only way that anything can take place is with teamwork. If they're not working together, then nothing's going to happen.
Thank you, Mr. Rawhauser. And Ms. Rourke, how would you describe the relationship between the town of Pinedale and the county, and what's a way to maintain or improve that relationship?
I don't believe that the relationship between Pinedale and the county commissioners is a very good one. The meetings are held at a time when most people can't attend. Having worked on the healthcare board and trying to communicate with commissioners, they were not receptive. They didn't do their homework. I'm going to do my homework. I don't depend on one person to tell me their opinion and take it as my own. I will do the research. I'll do my homework online. I will talk to any of the citizens. Commissioners did not discuss items that they should concerning health care with the health care board, and we are the experts. I'm not a one-item person or candidate, but I will work hard for you.
Thank you, Ms. Rourke. And Mr. Skinner, how would you describe the relationship between the county and the town of Pinedale, and what's a way you would maintain or improve that relationship?
I will echo that the relationship at the moment is not very good, that it can be much better, and with dialogue, with interest, with a give-and-take operation that sometimes it appears that the mayor is unwilling to do, that he's willing to make that point, and the county commissioners are a little bit to be blamed also. And I think with dialogue, with interest, and with a honesty, that problem can be resolved.
Thank you, Mr. Skinner. And Mr. Vickery, how would you describe the relationship between the county and the town of Pinedale, and what's a way to maintain or improve that relationship?
Well, the folks in the town of Pinedale are part of the county, and in order for the relationships to become better, they need to be involved, come to the commissioner meetings, hear and ask questions, become informed as to what the issues really are all about, and be proactive. Make this thing happen. You can't sit back and wait for it to happen. You have to make it happen. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Vickery. And we'll move on to question two.
Thank you. We will start this question with Ms. Cross. Ms. Cross, as a candidate, how have you kept yourself informed about the most important issues facing the county commissioners moving forward?
Thanks for that question. That has actually been the best part about running for county commissioner, is all of the people that I've been able to meet and talk to. The board meetings I've gone to, the commissioners' meetings, different organizations, and just getting feedback from people on how they think the county is being ran and how it's going and how we can improve the whole interaction between the county commissioners and the rest of the county. And so I've loved it. I think it's been great just interacting and talking with people, and that is the role of a county commissioner, is to be interactive and to listen. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cross. Ms. Crossan, how have you kept yourself informed about the most important issues facing the commission moving forward?
I have attended the majority of the commission meetings. And do you want to know what things I would look at? I mean, could you repeat the question? I didn't quite get the...
What have you done to keep yourself informed about the issues?
Oh, well, it's attending all the meetings. Being retired, I have the time to attend all the meetings, and I have time to review the minutes. That's what I do. I also attend the, as I mentioned earlier, the breakfast meetings. I go to a lot of our, I've toured the Jonah Fields. I go out and talk to our constituents and bring that back
and pretty much just study and educate myself on some of the initiatives that are out there. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Crossan. Mr. Griffin, how have you kept yourself informed about the most important issues facing the commission moving forward?
Well, I tried to attend as many meetings as I could to see what's actually happening in them and to learn about the things that are affecting our county. I've also tried really hard to talk to as many people as I can and listen to what they have to say. And I try to keep up on the paper and the radio and those type of things too, but mostly talking with the constituents and learning what they have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Griffin. Mr. Lingle, how have you kept yourself informed about the most important issues facing the commissioners moving forward?
I've kept myself informed through the fine work of Mr. Crane and Dawn at Pinedale Online. But also, I mean, I don't want to say that I'm all that well informed on what the commission does because they don't publish an agenda. And that's one of the major things that needs to change. As soon as I got on town council, I asked there to be an agenda policy so that we could publish it so that everybody, whether you were there for the eight-hour meeting or not, could see what was happening at that meeting. And that would be one of the primary things I would like to get accomplished as commissioner.
Thank you, Mr. Lingle. Ms. Losick, how have you kept yourself informed about the most important issues facing the commissioners moving forward?
Well, for me, I spent 8 years as advertising director and general manager of the Pinedale Roundup newspaper. So the first thing I do on Tuesday mornings and on Friday mornings is read the paper from cover to cover. Now, granted, that doesn't cover everything, but it's a good place to start to know what's going on with the commissioners and our county. Having said that, both in the newspapers and on the Internet, the minutes are published. The agenda is published online if you go to the Sublette County website. And then, of course, to talk to our constituents and get involved. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Losick. Mr. Noble, how have you kept yourself informed about the most important issues facing the Sublette County commissioners?
Being on the zoning board kind of puts me in that position that I'm in the courthouse quite a bit. Circles you run in are part of who you are and how you're informed. So I communicate with all those people currently and have a pretty good insight on most of what's going on. I am rather impressed by how informed you people are and how many good ideas I've heard over the last 2 months. All been very good. I'll just leave it at that.
Thank you, Mr. Noble. Mr. Rawhauser, how have you kept yourself informed about the most important issues facing the commission moving forward?
Since I decided to run for county commissioner, I've been at almost every commissioner meeting except a 1 week of a fantastic fishing trip. I have the time. I have the time to go to the meetings right now, to listen to what's going on. I also, the key is listening. I have been listening. And you have to ask questions. The other secret is you got to ask another question. It's the only way you're going to get the answer.
Thank you, Mr. Rawhauser. Ms. Rourke, how have you kept yourself informed about the most important issues facing the commissioners moving forward?
I've attended several meetings, not all of them. I certainly read everything there is to read in the paper concerning the commission and what the issues are. I talk to my friends, neighbors, stop people in the green bean aisle, and we have a discussion. I get online and do some research into the issues that are facing our county instead of, again, forming opinions on just what someone tells me. I will continue to do probably that research and attend hopefully more meetings. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rourke. Mr. Skinner, how have you kept yourself informed about the most important issues facing the commissioners moving forward?
Thank you. Of course, agenda, the press, the radio, the neighbors, and the people in the coffee shop bring a great wealth of information to you. The dialogue along the street and from you, the voters, I think is one of the most important things. taking the time to listen as it comes forth from you, what it is, and how to go about it.
Thank you, Mr. Skinner. Mr. Vickery, how have you kept yourself informed about the most important issues facing the commissioners moving forward?
I've been on the Weed and Pest Board here in Sublette County for 13 years, and in that time, I have not missed one meeting. So I can assure you, I will be there. When you're a commissioner, information obviously is very important, and the teamwork is very important. And the teamwork, if I'm elected, will be comprised of myself and the constituency who put me there. That's where the best information comes from. What do you want? What do you want to see happen? And then show up and let's, pardon me, and let's get it done. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Vickery. Dr. Burnett, how have you kept yourself informed about the most important issues the commissioners are facing moving forward?
Number one, I have personally called each of the commissioners on several occasions to solicit information and their opinions. Number two, I have attended several county commissioner meetings. However, like most of the working public, those are sometimes limited, and I think it's the duty of the newspaper to keep the public informed of the proceedings of public meetings. So, of course, I read the newspaper.
Thank you, Dr. Burnett.
And we'll go ahead and move on to question three. And Ms. Crossan, we'll go ahead and start with you. A recent informal poll by the chamber indicated that a lack of transparency in county government was a top concern for many. What are some concrete steps that can be taken to change that perception?
Thank you. I agree with that. I think we have we can improve where our transparency is right now. Some of the things I think we need to do is have the discussions at the commissioner's table. I think a lot from being at the majority of the meetings, I've noticed the decisions are already made by the time I get there, and there's zero discussion that happens. So I think having the discussions there at the table are very important. I also think that making sure that the points that are going to be discussed around the agenda, a lot of times that's not the case. Just recently it was not the case. So I think those two things we can improve upon. Sorry.
Thank you, Ms. Crossan. And Mr. Griffin, given the perception that there's a lack of transparency at county government, what's a way, a step that can be taken to change that perception?
Well, I recognize that issue with the transparency from sitting on the meetings. And one of the main things that I propose if I'm elected is to have a monthly meeting in each one of the communities, Bondurant, Boulder, Pinedale, and Big Piney, at a time and place when the people could attend so that you could visit with them and be informed and let them know about what's coming up in the meetings so that they have a chance to voice their opinion on the issues before they come to a vote.
Thank you, Mr. Griffin. Same question, Mr. Lingle. Given the perception that there's a lack of transparency in county government, what's a way to change that perception?
The first thing we need to do is change the meeting times. We did that at town council. We made them later so that it wasn't at 5 o'clock when people were rushing to try to get home and try to get dinner or whatever. We made them at 7. That made it so that, you know, we got twice as much attendance, although maybe that was 6 people instead of 3. It worked out really well. The second thing would be the agenda packet that we put together for the town council with 200 pages sometimes of all the information of all the things you need to know before the meeting. They put it in a PDF, put it online. We would read it before the meeting. We'd have it ready by Friday so we could read it and know all the issues and all the facts that are out there before we go into the meeting on Monday. So I'd like to see that happen as well.
Thank you, Mr. Lingle. And Ms. Losick, what's a way to change the public perception that there's a lack of transparency in county government?
Firstly, I might be alone here, think that the county does a fairly decent job with their transparency. The problem is a lot of people don't educate themselves on what their options are. The minutes, again, are published in the newspapers. You can log on to the county website. Even as we speak, the agenda for the next meeting is being built on that.
If you want added to the agenda or would like to attend a meeting, it's there. Now, one thing I agree with Tammy on is sometimes items are discussed that are not on the agenda, and I think there's room for improvement there. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Losick. Mr. Noble, given the public perception that there's a lack of transparency in county government, what's a way to change that perception?
Once again, looking forward, the perception of transparency will get better with the five commissioners. There's two more out and about in the public for you people to talk to and have more interaction with and learn the facts instead of rumor-based facts that we all know this small community has a hard time with. So the simple fact we're going to have five commissioners will help. The other is please be involved. If you have questions, call your commissioners or the people that can inform you of the facts. I think that would make a big difference.
Thank you, Mr. Noble. And Mr. Rawhauser, given the public perception, what's a way that you can change that public perception of a lack of public transparency in county government?
As I stated in my last answer, questions. It's online. It's at the courthouse. It's at the meetings. We need people to get involved. We have so many good people in this county that have a lot to offer, but you can't be the silent majority. You must get involved. And that is the way you'll find out the answers, because it is crystal clear. You just have to look.
Thank you, Mr. Rawhauser. And Ms. Rourke, given the public perception that there's a lack of transparency in county government, what's a way to change that perception?
The meetings that I have attended of the county commissioners were rather unsatisfactory in that the things that were being discussed had a person talking who is concerned about the issue, a business issue, a building issue, and talked with his back to the audience, to the commissioners. Nobody could hear the two-way conversation, and I didn't understand what the issues even were and anybody's opinion. Being on the healthcare board, we have lively discussions among five of us, and I think the five is going to be a real good deal. It's not two against one. We debate.
Thank you, Ms. Rourke. And Mr. Skinner, given the public perception that there's a lack of transparency in county government, what's a way to change that perception? Excuse me.
The items that they have mentioned from the agenda, better publication, more knowledge, but the number one is respect for the audience and the voters who show up at the meeting, that they're not treated like a gallery. Granted, you can't hear what they have to say, but they always have their back to you and have that problem. But it is respect of the commissioners for the voters to put them in the office.
Thank you, Mr. Skinner. And Mr. Vickery, same question. Given the public perception that there's a lack of transparency in county government, what's a way to change that perception?
Well, I think one of the ways is to have an agenda that's more precise. So if I want to go in and be involved in a specific item on that agenda, and it says it's at 10:30 and I'm there at 2 and it still hasn't come up, that doesn't make me feel very good. So I think the more precise in an agenda that they can be actually lets more folks attend because they don't have to take a whole day out of their work. And the other thing, too, is, and it's been alluded to, is it's difficult to hear a lot of what's going on 15 seconds all over the place. And so I think we need a little better system to get the word out while there's discussion going on there. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Vickery. And Dr. Burnett, same question. Given the public perception of a lack of transparency in county government, what's a way to change that perception?
Unfortunately, in our society, perception is often more important than fact. Transparency is often maligned when people are unaware or uninformed. Our duty as commissioners is to make people more informed and to make our decisions, or to explain our decisions to the public.
Thank you, Dr. Burnett. And Ms. Cross, given the public perception of a lack of transparency, what's a way to change that perception?
I was very struck the first time I walked into the commissioner's office by a painting that's on the back of the wall, and it is of a mountain man and an Indian sharing a peace pipe in front of a teepee. And that struck me as it's huge, as the county commission is a council, and as a council, having community involvement is key. And so outreach of the agenda, outreach of communication, of inviting more people to coffee with the commissioners. There's a huge room in Stockman's. It could be a party in the morning. Just networking, communicating, involving more of the community. And I see electronic outreach to get younger people involved as well, email newsletters, and I have to stop.
Thank you, Ms. Cross.
Okay, we'll start the next question with Mr. Griffin. Mr. Griffin, public feedback indicates that improved Internet access is a concern with the constituents throughout the county. If elected, what would you do to address that issue?
Did you say Internet?
Yes.
Can I pass? I do use the Internet, but probably not enough and not as much. But I think it would be really easy to use the social media to help, you know, advertise the things that the commissioners are doing, and also to put out the issues so that people can be more informed. It's something we have to do. The Internet and social media is becoming very large in politics.
Thank you, Mr. Griffin. Mr. Lingle, public feedback indicates that improved Internet access is a concern with constituents throughout the county. If elected, what would you do to address the issue?
Well, in 2014, I voted on putting a 4G tower up on the ball fields, and that lost on a 3-2 vote to the mayor, who cited that it was going to be in the way of the helicopters, but the hospital didn't think that. So getting out of the way of the industry that wants to expand is primarily what we would have to do. And there's other ways that you can maybe try to ask to partner with, like, Verizon or CenturyTel to, you know, bring them on board as the partners.
Thank you, Mr. Lingle. Ms. Lozick, public feedback indicates that improved Internet access is a concern with the constituents throughout the county. If elected, how would you address the issue?
I think it is a concern because, especially in our current economic state, I think the Internet could really benefit this county, improved Internet. I know the town of Big Piney lays conduit under everything, being proactive moving forward to bring us better Internet. CenturyLink also hosted a luncheon, I think that was back in May, to meet with the public, and a lot of people turned out for that and expressed their concerns. But, you know, if we can invite people to do online businesses and manufacturing and have a tool to do that, that might really save this area and our economy. So I think it's a very big, important.
Thank you, Ms. Lozick. Mr. Noble, what would you do if elected to address the public concern about improved Internet access?
Once again, being informed, if you all recall, Matt Meade got in office, that was one of his big things. He's currently working on a loop line through Star Valley and up through Jackson and back through our county. I don't know where it's at this point. We already have some fiber optic through Pinedale, but they're catering more to Jackson and Teton County than they are currently to Sublette, simply because that's where the demand is. So I think things are in motion. I would help speed them up and move forward working with the state.
Thank you, Mr. Noble. Mr. Rawhauser, if elected, what would you do to address the public concern about improved Internet access?
Progress is moving very, very quickly, at light speed for a man my age. I hate to say that. That being said, we have to do what it takes to bring this county to where we can bring companies or businesses into the county, because everything is done with the Internet. So it must be improved. It needs to be one of the top list things that we have to do.
Thank you, Mr. Rawhauser. Ms. Rourke, if elected, how would you address the public's concern about improved Internet access?
I believe that it is being addressed at this time.
as Amazon's number one customer, my husband spends a lot of time on the Internet, and we have to have it. This is a part of education. It's part of public information. And I believe that putting up the other antenna was, I was at that meeting that was discussed, is a very good start. But we need to nibble away and listen to our constituents. If they're having problems, we need to make sure that we investigate what the problem is and how we can fix it.
Thank you, Ms. Rourke. Mr. Skinner, if elected, how would you address the public's concern about improved Internet access?
Thank you. I believe the commissioners must take a more active role, as well as draw upon the knowledge and the talent that is in this county to help them along the way. Part of this is definitely political, and the commissioners can do the leading role in bringing in a faster Internet, but they can also draw upon the resources that are out there that are knowledgeable in the Internet and the communications network to help us along that line.
Thank you, Mr. Skinner. Mr. Vickery, if elected, how would you address the public's concern about improved Internet access?
Well, I'm not a real great Internet user. My wife, however, is. So here we go. I think this needs to be addressed by one word, money. It takes a lot of money to bring those Internet services in here to where they're fast and efficient. And as we have a low population, and we're not going to ever compete, I don't think, with the Denvers, the Salt Lake Cities, as far as the folks that bring it here, thinking we need it as bad as they do there. So I believe if we're going to get it, we're going to have some outside help funding it. And is the commission one of those? It could very well be in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Vickery. Dr. Burnett, how would you address the public's concern about improved Internet access if elected?
I think the question is not Internet access, but actually stability of Internet services. Unfortunately, we don't have a public service commission that can intervene and regulate in this matter. As county commissioner, I would work with the local municipalities, the state legislature, and the governor's office to combine in a collaborative effort try to address and solve this issue.
Thank you, Dr. Burnett. Ms. Cross, if elected, how would you address the public's concern over improved Internet access?
Given that this is a public concern, we've been talking about this a lot, and as allowing Sublette County to move into the future, having a high-speed Internet is imperative. Probably fiber optic as well. There are people working on this. There's a company that has been looking at our area to bring that to us. And for families to stay here, for us to be able to recruit people to live here, for entrepreneurs to be able to develop and flourish, for small businesses to start, it's the way of the future. It's global, and it's something we have to look at and talk to people. That is something I'm very good at, and to be able to collaborate and work on this.
Thank you, Ms. Cross. Ms. Crossan, if elected, what would you do to address the public's concern over improved Internet access?
This is something that's been on my forefront personally for the last 2 years. Ask CenturyLink. I've called them every month, if not 3 or 4 times a month. But I was involved with bringing the Internet to the forefront with Economic Resource Council. The first thing we need to do is bring in competition, which has been done. We do have competitors out there. But more importantly, I agree with Dr. Burnett, this is a state issue. And whether you regulate it the way communications is regulated now is something we need to discuss, because not everyone wants to be regulated. I don't. A lot of companies don't. So it's still a concern, but maybe that's something we need to take up from the state level.
Thank you, Ms. Crossan.
And we'll move on to question number 5. And audience, rest assured, after this question, we will get an intermission. Everybody will get a chance to stretch your legs. Question number 5 to Mr. Lingle. Because the county owns the property on which the Pinedale Clinic is located, the proposed critical access hospital would require commissioner approval. If elected, would you vote to approve the critical access hospital? Why or why not?
Well, as an elected official for the town council, I voted and brought up to vote a promise of $1 million to support the critical access. So I'm on record as having voted for that already. I still support it. It's critical for our county. It's critical for North and South County. We absolutely need to move forward with that. Otherwise, you know, I looked at the Ide Bailey report, which the commission had commissioned, and they seem to ignore the fact that the data in there says that we'll be underwater sooner than later. So,
thank you, Mr. Lingle. Ms. Losick, given that county commissioner approval is required for the critical access hospital, if elected, would you vote to approve the critical access hospital? Why or why not?
I think like many of us here, this has been a long road, attending the open houses, educating ourselves on it, talking to people from both camps. And ultimately, we work for our constituents. Quite honestly, I have not talked to a lot of people that are for it outside of the health profession. One thing, though, I question that we shouldn't do as a county is put it to a bond issue, put it on a ballot, and vote on it. That's one means to pay for it, as well as then we would know if it's supported. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Losick. Mr. Noble, given the required approval by county commissioners, if elected, would you vote to approve the critical access hospital? Why or why not?
First of all, I'd like to commend the administrators and all the people that are involved in this clinics here. They've put a great deal of effort into this cause and informing us. I think we're all a lot better off now with some knowledge. My current position is there's been a lot of studies done. I want to make sure that we implement what was said in the studies before we move forward and make sure everything's correct.
Thank you, Mr. Noble. Mr. Rawhauser, given that commissioner approval would be required, if elected, would you vote to approve the critical access hospital? Why or why not?
Healthcare in Sublette County is the number one most important thing that we can do here. The critical access hospital, all of the proposals, all the information to me is very challenging. I'm having trouble with all the information. I need more information. I need to do more studying before I can make a decision.
Thank you, Mr. Rawhauser. Ms. Rourke, given that county commissioners would have to approve a critical access hospital, if elected, would you vote to approve? Why or why not?
First of all, I would take it very seriously that the people who were elected to run the healthcare district have done 2 years' worth of investigating, and it's a very, very important proposal. It wasn't taken lightly. Even the people that are sitting at this board now are confused because not that we didn't have enough information. I think the amount of information was overwhelming. The very expensive financial study showed and recommended that we aren't going to survive as we know medicine now unless the critical access hospital is approved, and I would vote for it 100%.
Thank you, Ms. Roark. And Mr. Skinner, if elected, would you vote to approve the critical access hospital? Why or why not?
Emphatically, yes. And yes, again, because it has been too long in the making. It is desperately needed in this county. It is good of the potential of being self-sustaining, but I am extremely tired in the delay and such voting for it, and I'm tired of seeing at the post office those notices when it doesn't have to be.
Thank you, Mr. Skinner. Mr. Vickery, if elected, would you vote to approve the critical access hospital? Why or why not?
In a word, no. And the reason being is this county is losing people day after day after day. They're going someplace else. The economy right now in the term sucks. The income that we're going to have as a county is going to be somewhat in the, 25 percentile of what it was 3 or 4 years ago when this would not even have been an issue. It would have just happened because we had so much money. Right now, in my mind at least, there is no plan B. If this thing goes through and we put it on board and it doesn't happen, it fails, then what? Who's going to take over? it's going to fall on the burden of the taxpayer. So, stop.
Thank you, Mr. Vickery. Dr. Burnett, given that county commissioner approval would be required for a critical access hospital, if elected, would you vote to approve a critical access hospital? Why or why not?
The decision for a critical access hospital is responsible of the rural health care district. The question for the commissioners then becomes, what monies or assets will we allocate for funding? And in addition, what safeguards are we going to have or guarantees for any jeopardy that we may be in if the healthcare district's revenue projections fail?
Thank you, Dr. Burnett. Ms. Cross, if elected, would you vote to support the critical access hospital? Why or why not?
So this is a very complex issue. I have a binder full of information. I visited the Pinedale Clinic, and I will be visiting Marbleton next week. It is not an easy issue, but after sifting through and understanding, things have definitely crystallized. We are already paying for it. Everyone here on their check is a 2.9% tax that is going to Medicaid that we are already paying for and that is not coming back to Sublette County. We have the opportunity to actually connect the Sublette Center and the clinic. I'm absolutely for it. Please talk to me if you want more information. Find out, because it's complex, and you need to do your homework on this one. It's important.
Thank you, Ms. Cross. Ms. Crossen, same question. Given that commissioner approval would be required to build the critical access hospital, if elected, would you vote to approve? Why or why not?
This is pretty simple for me. I have toured both facilities in the last 6 weeks, and let me tell you, they are exceptional. The staff there, very informed, very dedicated. But with that, I have requested financials, both written and verbally, the last 5 years' financial statements from the district. And until I receive those, I cannot make an educated decision. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Crossen. Mr. Griffin, same question. If elected, would you vote to approve the construction of the critical access hospital? Why or why not?
Going last is way better than first. I'm not convinced that the critical access hospital is the cure, but I wouldn't be opposed to the county supporting some of those issues and the hospital if it's proven that it can fix the problem. I would be very careful about the issues of and the concerns of the constituents around the county and losing any of the services that they already have.
Thank you, Mr. Griffin. And thank you, audience, for your patience. We'll go ahead and take a 10-minute intermission. 10 minutes, stretch your legs. And we'll go ahead and come back. I want to remind you also that there are note cards and pens and pencils if you want to write a question for a future forum. We have three more. Thank you.
And you're listening to the candidate forum, the county commissioner forum on KPIN Pinedale 101.1. Ed, we want to thank James Thomas of High Mountain Real Estate, for bringing this to you here. He's an associate broker out at High Mountain Real Estate. We're going to take a look at some of his listings, and he just welcomes you to call him on a cell phone, whether you're buying or selling. He's very, very, very knowledgeable on how to deal in this down economy. This is a very unusual time we're having in Sublette County. It's not like it was back in 2007. And he understands that, and in both directions, buying or selling, he's going to be able to help you make the best of these difficult times. Let me give you a cell phone, but I'll repeat the cell phone here in a little bit. The cell phone for James Thomas is 231-0167. That's 231-0167. Let's take a look at some of the listings that he has. He's got a two-story home for sale at 220 South Cole. It was built in 2003, so it's relatively new. Has an attached garage, has a nice little balcony up on the second story. It's kind of nice to have a second-story balcony up there. Looking for the square feet here. Okay, the second floor has 1,702 square feet, and the main floor is 1,350 square feet. So you've got combination of those two. And it's in a commercial zoning. If you want to run a little home business out of this, no problem at all. It's in a commercial zoning at 220 South Cole in Pinedale. The price, $437,800. And it's ready to go. Just as soon as you get the paperwork done, you can move right in. So this is one of three properties we're going to be taking a look at here tonight. Again, single family home, 220 South Cole for sale, $437,800. And keep in mind, if you do have a business operation going on, this would be a perfect setup. I'm looking at the picture to have both business office and residence all in one. A lot of people do that very, very successfully. So 220 South Cole, that's one of his properties that James Thomas has listed. Now, another one that he has listed is 26 Industrial Road in Marbleton. Now, this one is a one-story single-family home. This one's quite a bit less money. This one's $119,000. And it was built in 2005. So, again, this is relatively new. It's got 40 acres worth of property around it. It's multiple lots, not just one lot. It's multiple lots, 40 acres. And so you've got quite a bit of room there. Do you want to put a horse on your property? About 10-plus. Put a lot of horses on that property. So horses are allowed. And, again, this residence, it's 1,392 square feet on the main floor. Of course, the main floor is the only floor. It's one-story, single-family house. Has two bathrooms, and it's on a well. Has septic and well, vinyl exterior, deck, fence, satellite dish, storage shed, dishwasher range. That's all included in here. Again, this is in Marbleton. If you want to just drive by and take a look, 26 Industrial Road, Marbleton, Wyoming. But, you know, the nice thing about this is you could put a lot of horses on this property, and it is sitting on 40 acres. So, again, let's take a look at one more, and I'll tell you a little bit more about getting in touch with James Thomas. This next one is 220 South Lincoln. 220 South Lincoln, and this particular property is a two-story townhouse, is what this is, two-story townhouse. Price is $89,000, and wow, there you go. You didn't think you'd buy a place to live for that kind of price here in Pinedale, but that's one advantage here with the economy the way it is. You can get some bargains right now, and this looks like it certainly is. It was built in 2005, so it's quite new. Two-story townhouse. The setup here for bathrooms and so forth, it has a total of one full bathroom and one three-quarter bath. The water and sewer is Town of Pinedale. It's on public water, public sewer. There's no basement. Of course, you really can't have a basement in a in-town house, or you'd end up with a swimming pool if you attempted that. But this house is exterior is masonry construction on the exterior. Natural gas fuel, forced air ducts, has an eat-in kitchen. Patio, satellite dish, high-speed internet already hooked up, dishwasher, disposal, dryer, microwave, range, refrigerator, and washer. So, again, look at the price on this, $89,000 for a two-story townhouse here in Pinedale at 220 South Lincoln Avenue, if you should want to drive by maybe and take a look at it, see what it looks like. So those are just three of the listings. He has more than that, of course, and you may want to check out his website by going to the High Mountain Real Estate website. It's www.highmountain.com. Now, mountain is abbreviated MTN, so it's www.highmtn.com, and that lets you check out the website. Better idea is just give James Thomas a call and let him go over some of these. You might want to meet with him in his office, and he can pull up a lot of details on the various different properties. Again, his cell phone number, 231-0167, 231-0167, and we certainly do want to thank him for bringing this forum to us live on KPIN Pinedale this evening. I'm up at the sound booth right now at the Pinedale Auditorium. There's plenty of vacant seats if you want to come to see the second half of this. The roads are a little goofed up right now, so what I did is I just kind of pulled in over by the LDS Church, swung around, found a place to park about a block away from the school. wasn't that hard to just walk a little bit, but you are going to find that the roads along in front of the school and to the side of the school, a lot of them are closed right now. Construction is going on. But if you just come up as far as you can, then maybe go one block into the thing that says local traffic only, pull over, find a place to park. It's just not that far to walk in. And like I said, looking out at the audience, I'd say the auditorium is maybe about one-third full, so that means about two-thirds of it is still available if you want to come out and take a seat. Now, a little bit about the election. The early voting is going on right now because the election, this is the primary election. The primary election is going on right now, and the question is going to be, what if you're not going to be here on the 16th of August? Well, it's just a matter of going up to the county courthouse during business hours and voting early. But, you know, before you vote, you really ought to see what your ballot's going to look like. And there's a real easy way to take a look at your ballot, and that's to go to www.pinedaleonline.com. That's Don Ballew's website, www.pinedaleonline.com. In the upper right, you'll see an American flag, a little box in the far upper right corner, the American flag, and it says sample ballot. Click on that little box, and then you're going to get a page that has a listing of the candidates. You're still not there yet, but you have a listing of the candidates. And up at the top, there's a thing where you can click on sample ballot. So now for the second time, you're clicking on sample ballot, and now you've really got it. You've got all 17 pages. Now, don't worry. The ballot that you're going to vote is not 17 pages long, but the sample ballot is all 17 of them hooked together. So now what you need to do is scroll from top to bottom and find your ballot. The first bunch of ballots are Republican ballots, and you'll see at the very top of each page, and there's one ballot per page. The ballot this time is just one page long. The very, very top, you'll see, for example, it'll say official Republican primary ballot or official Democrat primary ballot. They'll be up at the top. They also have at the very, very end, you'll see the two minor parties, the Libertarian Party and the Constitution Party. Only on the Libertarian Party and Constitution Party, there's no local candidates running at all. So other than United States Congress, you're not going to see any other candidates in any of the other slots there. But then at the bottom right-hand corner, you will see where it says the name of the precinct and the number of the precinct, and that's where you want to go to make sure you find the right one. For example, the first one you're going to see when you click on that thing to go to the final ballot where you see 17 pages, the very, very first one is going to say Pinedale 1-1. Next one will be Pinedale West 1-3. Just scroll down until you find yours. Maybe it's Marbleton, maybe it's Daniel. But you want to look at yours because there is some difference. First of all, precinct committee men, precinct committee women are different for the different precincts because you only see the people that live in that precinct. And also the order of the names are a little different on each ballot. That's just done out of fairness that they're in different orders on different ballots. And then also when it comes to voting for state senator and state representative, our two northernmost precincts, the one up in Daniel and the one up in Bondurant, they are in a separate House district and separate Senate district, and the rest of the county is separate from those two. So again, if you want to study this ballot, make sure you're studying the one that you're going to see when you go in to vote. It always kind of bugs me a little bit when I go to vote. I often am overhearing conversations in an adjacent booth, husband and wife, saying, golly, who are all these people? Wow, didn't expect to see all these. I don't know these people. Hey, honey, you know any of these people? Well, the time to be doing that isn't when you're sitting in the voting booth. It's do that right now. Ask your neighbors, ask friends, ask people at work. Continue to listen to this forum because we're going to learn more about what's going on here. Now, I think Steve is about to say something.
We'll go ahead and start back up here in about 2 minutes. 2 minutes, and we'll start back up.
Okay, there's our two-minute warning. But anyway, again, I highly encourage you, go to Pinedale Online, click on that American flag in the upper right-hand corner, then click on the thing that says sample ballots, scroll through all 17 pages until you find your ballot, the ones for your particular party and your particular precinct. And don't forget that precinct committee man, precinct committee women, these are the people at the bottom rung of the ladder in your political party. And if you are concerned about what your party's doing at the top level, you start by getting it fixed at the lowest of levels, and that's people you probably already know, your neighbors that are running for precinct committee men, precinct committee women. Check that out ahead of time so you don't, again, get a surprise when you go in to vote. Well, once again, a big thank you going out to James Thomas that he has often reached out and brought these types of forums to us when a lot of other people are hesitant to. James understands the importance that we vote knowledgeably. And James Thomas of High Mountain Real Estate, thank you very much for bringing us this forum tonight. Again, if you want to call him, his phone number, cell phone, 231-0167. That's 231-0167 for James Thomas. He's just one of the more brilliant real estate people that I've ever known. And that's whether you're buying or selling. Either way, he knows what needs to be done during these difficult economic times. He's going to be eager to work with you. Well, it looks like Steve is about ready to call things to order here. People are still kind of standing around. They're not in their seats yet, but I think Steve's going to tell them to sit down. Here he is.
Candidates, we'll go ahead and get you back up on stage, please. If we could have the candidates back on stage.
Well, that's a rather important thing. You do need to get the candidates up there before we can start. And right now there's only about five of them up there on the stage, and the rest are kind of mingling down below. Now, if you want to come and see this in person, there's lots and lots of space here in the auditorium, so just come on up to the high school auditorium. Remember that Hennick is closed, Tyler is closed. Best thing to do is just on Pine Street, take one of the streets that approaches the school. You're going to see a big sign that says road closed, except for local traffic, which means you can go about one more block if you don't plan on going beyond one more block. Find a little place to pull over and then just walk in. It's just about one more block. It's not that far to come. And come watch this in person, and you'll be able to see what's happening. Okay, here's Steve.
Try to get you home at a reasonable hour. Maybe.
Steve is still asking people to come up on the stage, and let's get people back in their seat. Right now I do see people are headed back to their chairs, and candidates are headed back to the stage. I think we're within about 30 seconds of starting here. So once again, this is coming to you live on KPIN Radio. Thank you very much to James Thomas of High Mountain Real Estate for making this possible. Here's Steve, the editor of the Pinedale Roundup and the Sublet Examiner. I think he's about to speak. Here he is.
Thank you. It looks like we have everybody back at their seats now. So we'll just go ahead and get started after the intermission. Ms. Losick is up for the next question, and I think now would be a good time just to remind everyone that we have two separate forums. We have a Pinedale forum and a Big Piney forum. So this is a Pinedale-specific question. Ms. Losick, given the current economic downturn, what do you see as the biggest challenge facing Pinedale specifically?
I know there's a lot of emphasis put on tourism and promoting this area, but I think ultimately that's just a drop in the bucket. And going back to the internet question, you know, if we continue to move forward with internet services, fiber optic, a story I like to share is young Megan Grassel that came from this area has a totally independent business out of Jackson that is run online. And people want to live here. We just have to give them the means to support themselves. But I think that would be a good step in the right direction. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Losick. Mr. Noble, given the current economic downturn, what do you see as the biggest challenge facing Pinedale?
I'd say we need to improve ourselves with the federal level as far as getting along with them and representing the county for multiple use reasons and just everything. Supporting nonprofit with the downturn's very important. I think they all bring us something that the community needs. But that all depends on we have to maintain by state statute ourselves first. So if there is extra money, nonprofit would be a good thing. Maintaining infrastructure is a big key thing. We've built a lot of buildings in the last 9 years. We have to keep them up and keep them functional on a smaller budget.
Thank you, Mr. Noble. Mr. Rawhauser, given the current economic downturn, what do you see as the biggest challenge facing Pinedale?
There are so many good people here in Pinedale that have so much to offer. And what needs to happen is that foundation that's here in Sublette County and in Pinedale needs to be sold to the people outside the county. There's things that are to be offered here. We need to take advantage of it.
Thank you, Mr. Rawhauser. Ms. Rourke, given the current economic downturn, what do you see as the biggest challenge facing Pinedale?
Because of the lowered amount of gas revenue, obviously healthcare suffered greatly. Real estate are nonprofits, yes, and they get short shrift, obviously, when the downturn comes. We need employment. We need not to lose people. And I would suggest that we do everything we can to encourage tourism, cottage industries. The internet is a very important aspect of that, as most of us do some shopping online. But we need to find other sources, and we need to talk about it and get online and look and see what's out there.
Thank you, Ms. Rourke. Mr. Skinner, given the current economic downturn, what do you see as the biggest challenge facing Pinedale?
Well, since the time the economy has been based on recreation, ranching, and minerals, and one of them is down at the stage, but we have so much to offer outside of this county to the people that to come in, both from recreation and perhaps the light industry, the environment is there. And in that, one of the things I would do, definitely recreation, is be up there with Jackson with the mini chamber of the commerce, telling all those people who want this lifestyle and this change that we have it in Sublette County for you. Come east, young lady.
Thank you, Mr. Skinner. Mr. Vickery, given the current economic downturn, what do you see as the biggest challenge facing Pinedale?
Well, the biggest challenge facing Pinedale is the businesses and their inability to create, if you would, opportunity to make a profit. And in so doing, what we need to do is enhance what we have here to offer. Can you imagine the folks on the way to the Yellowstone or to Jackson Hole, taking a tour up Elkhart Park, Photographer's Point, and looking at places like that? We have a myriad of that stuff in Sublette County. That needs to be enhanced. It needs to be promoted. It needs to be advertised. Stop them here for a moment. We won't be destination, but we might be able to slow them down enough to get into their pocket. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Vickery. Dr. Burnett, given the current economic downturn, what do you see as the biggest challenge facing Pinedale?
The challenge for Pinedale, as well as the rest of the county, lies in developing economic diversity. Pinedale has a much better opportunity than the south end of the county in terms of developing year-round tourism. But I think the critical key in any economic development is going to lay in the fact that we absolutely have to improve stability of internet access. As commissioners, we should help foster a climate for business opportunities and support for those businesses.
Thank you, Dr. Burnett. Ms. Cross, given the current economic downturn, what do you see as the biggest challenge facing Pinedale?
I see a vision and a strategy for the future. Is something that we really need to work on. We've been blessed by the energy industry for a lot of prosperity for such a small town, and we need to keep our eye on the energy industries of the world and the demands. We've been a leader for the energy extraction industry, and there's no reason we cannot start investing now into the future of future energies. We have to form organizational partnerships and creative partnerships to help keep our organizations and programs afloat here, encourage cooperation and communication among the organizations that are already founded here.
Thank you, Ms. Cross. Ms. Crossen, given the economic downturn, what do you see as the biggest challenge facing Pinedale?
I think our biggest challenge is economic diversity. We need to find other things that enhance what we currently do. We need to support our businesses we need to, I agree with Doug, we need to look at what we currently have in tourism, go out there and have people come in. I mean, what better place to live than Sublette County? And I think we need to market that. We have great volunteers. I'm not going to overspeak this time. But I do believe, going back to it, economic diversity, we have great infrastructure that we need to keep up. We need to work with our other counties to bring in tourism and maybe have their overflow come here. I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Krasin.
I'm learning.
Mr. Griffin, given the current economic downturn, what do you see as the biggest challenge facing Pinedale?
Well, I hate to say that it's just a Pinedale issue, even though we're talking about Pinedale. It's a county issue. And I think that we need to diversify. We can't depend on the agriculture, the energy industry, and the tourism to support the whole county. We need to make sure that we improve the business environment so that businesses are looking for places to go can come here. I also think that the county government itself needs to make sure that they use the services that we have here and make those dollars that the county spend and turn over here in our own county.
Thank you, Mr. Griffin. Mr. Lingle, given the current economic downturn, what do you see as the biggest challenge facing Pinedale?
Well, obviously jobs, I think, are the number one issue facing Pinedale. I think the commission should try to work towards stabilizing natural gas prices. We've hit, like, rock bottom, and I don't know about you, but I work in the industry in an odd way as a botanist. You can stabilize prices in a number of ways, one of which is to buy it here locally and turn it into power. We could put a natural gas-fired power plant on the Green River and have jobs there, in addition to supporting our local industry, which, you know, there's tons of gas out there, and it's going to be there for years to come, so we should embrace it. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Lingle.
And for question seven, we'll go ahead and start with you, Mr. Noble. It's a bit of a circumspect question. If you could please describe one instance in which you faced an ethical dilemma and how you resolved it.
I would have to say that would be on the zoning board. When you have relatives or cousins involved, you just abstain from the meeting. You get out and you sit in the audience with them and let the other four board members handle it. That resolves it without any conflict.
Thank you, Mr. Noble. Mr. Rawhauser, could you please describe one instance in which you faced an ethical dilemma and how you resolved it?
Well, first of all, I'd ask my wife, and she's pretty good at that. But it is very, very difficult, but you have to do what your heart says, and you've got to make the right decision. And the decision is asking questions and making sure in your own heart what decision you're making, and then go from there. And I've done that here just lately.
Thank you, Mr. Rawhauser. Ms. Rourke, can you please describe one instance in which you faced an ethical dilemma and how you resolved it?
I worked as a physician assistant in both clinics, both ends of the county. Ethical issues come up quite often, pretty much requests for narcotic drugs, things like that. My background, I had worked in a federal prison. It was a great training grounds to just say no. I don't have any trouble saying no if my ethical compass or my moral compass says this is wrong. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rourke. And Mr. Skinner, can you please describe one instance in which you faced an ethical dilemma and how you resolved it?
Ethical dilemma, what is fair, what is just, what is equal, and what is right.
Thank you, Mr. Skinner. Mr. Vickery, can you please describe one instance in which you faced an ethical dilemma and how you resolved it?
Sitting next to Courtney when he answered that question.
quite honestly, about 10 years ago, and I'm going to hurry right through this, I had a young lady I was trying to teach how to rake for me, and it became really ethical. She could not, would not, did not explain what I wanted. After 3 or 4 years, it finally dawned on me. The ethics of the situation was clear. I needed to work for her. And so with that in mind, we got along just fine the rest of the day. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Vickery. Dr. Burnett, can you please describe one instance in which you faced an ethical dilemma and how you resolved it?
Recently at our sublet number 9 school board meeting, I think we faced an issue with regards to a coaching position. And I think the answer to your question is that you do not compromise your values and you do not fold to pressure to do so.
Thank you, Dr. Burnett. Ms. Cross, can you please describe one instance in which you faced an ethical dilemma and how you resolved it?
Earlier this spring, I was at one of the our caucus to elect the primary presidential candidate, and I received two ballots when I signed up to vote, and I didn't realize it for a while until I went to vote and I saw I had two. And, you know, there's always that temptation to say, oh, wow, you know, I have two ballots here. But you always have to think of how are you going to look at yourself in the mirror? And that's always what I think about every day, and how can I look at my friends and my family and my community if I'm doing anything under the table or shady. And so it doesn't sit right, and you've got to be right with your own soul. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cross. Ms. Crossen, can you please describe one instance in which you faced an ethical dilemma and how you resolved it?
There is not enough time in 40 seconds, but I will tell you, I stick with my integrity and my value system, and then you never usually have a problem. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Crossen. And Mr. Griffin, can you please describe one instance in which you faced an ethical dilemma and how you resolved it?
Thank you. I have one that actually involves the county. One of the businesses that I do is I sell a road product that and the county uses about $800,000 a year with that. And I had approached the county about using that product. And when I decided to run for commissioner, I did not pursue that. I didn't think that was right. It would be a conflict of interest.
Thank you, Mr. Griffin. And Mr. Lingo, can you please describe one instance in which you faced an ethical dilemma and how you resolved it?
About 15 months ago, I was talking to the town administrator in Afton, and he and I started talking about the insurance policy in the town, and he said, you know, the mayor having insurance is absolutely illegal. And I was like, well, man, I don't want to do this. I really don't. But I swore an oath to uphold the laws of the state, and I brought it up and got trashed for 6 months by the mayor and slandered at every single meeting. But we finally got a vote, and we took it away from him. So that's how I resolved it.
Thank you, Mr. Lingo. And Ms. Losek, can you please describe one instance in which you faced an ethical dilemma and how you resolved it?
Inherently, we know what's right for ourselves and our family, and any time I get stuck on this, I actually turn to prayer. But about 4 years ago, I had an individual working for me, ranching, that was very inappropriate with myself and my family, and inherently was jeopardizing my business and my business relationship. And so, quite honestly, after a great deal of prayer, I dismissed this individual.
Thank you, Ms. Losek.
Okay, we'll start the next question with Mr. Rawhauser. If elected as a county commissioner, you will run into constituents who aren't always happy with the decisions that you make. How will you handle angry constituents?
Someone asked me how I handle constituents that were upset, and they just need to be listened to. They really, at the time they're upset, really don't want something done. They just want you to listen to what they have to say. But after being a referee and a coach and a teacher and a school board member, my skin has become quite thick. And so consequently, I realize that when you make a decision, 50% of the constituents are going to be mad.
Thank you, Mr. Rawhauser. Ms. Rourke, if elected as a county commissioner, you're going to run into constituents who aren't always happy with the decisions that you make. How will you handle angry constituents?
Well, I think Mr. Rawhauser answered it very well. just listen. As a PA in the clinics, I listen, and my motto was that if you listen, they'll tell you what's really wrong. The old saying, you can't please all of the people all of the time, is very, very true. If you try to do that, you had better get out of the business of making decisions. I believe that you listen, you're courteous, you give them respect that they deserve, and if you can help them with that problem or help them understand why you aren't going to vote in their favor, that's our job.
Thank you, Ms. Rourke. Mr. Skinner, if elected as county commissioner, how will you deal with angry constituents?
The art of listening is something I hope I can further develop and have the ability, because listening, compassion, and if you don't have the answer, the ability to seek it out, to find it, and to direct that conflict or that person to that answer is the ability.
Thank you, Mr. Skinner. Mr. Vickery, if elected to the Sublette County Commission, how would you deal with angry constituents?
Well, the word listening has popped up quite frequently here, and I think that's probably the key to most issues. As a board member on Wheaton Pass, and that's where I've had most of my experience is listening, the appropriate thing is to, number one, discuss the issue, number two, go in and sit down in a private setting so that there's two of you discussing what the issue is really all about. And usually you can come to a median that will satisfy the individuals who's having issues. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Vickery. Dr. Burnett, if elected as a Sublette County Commissioner, how would you deal with angry constituents?
I think it's important to listen with an open mind. I think problem solving starts with different views and opinions. I think our democracy is founded on the idea of public voice in governance. So I think it's important to listen, come to a conclusion, stand by your convictions, and have a thick skin.
Thank you, Dr. Burnett. Ms. Cross, if elected, how would you deal with angry constituents?
I like what you said about thick skin. That's important. I think a lot of times when people come at you angry, it's from a misunderstanding of some kind or just not. If you have the opportunity to lay out why that you made a certain decision, you may be able to convey certain information that people may not know about. And, of course, hearing where they're coming from, why they feel so passionate about this. And I love it. I mean, the more people that are involved in creating the future of our community, the better. And the passion is something that we need to harness and help direct for our community members. So I welcome it. I just hope we can be respectful.
Thank you, Ms. Cross. Ms. Crossan, if elected, how would you deal with angry constituents?
Thanks. I have been going door to door, and I've had a few people very angry, whether it be a current commission, city council, whatever the case is, and I think resounding listening is key. And I also think explaining why you feel the way you feel is very important to these folks. But at the end of the day, everyone can disagree. You just have to either compromise or just understand that you're going to agree to disagree and move on. And that's what we need to do. We need to move on, look at where we're going, and have a little bit of vision and a little bit of faith in each other. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Crossan. Mr. Griffin, if elected, how would you deal with angry constituents?
Well, I have to agree that listening is the number one thing, and truly listening to make sure that you understand what they're trying to tell you and that you understand their issue. I think you need to let them know and to feel that you are concerned about what their issues are and that it will have some effect on the decisions that you make.
Thank you, Mr. Griffin. Mr. Lingle, if elected, how would you deal with angry constituents?
In the past, I had a whole room full of people yelling at me at the town council over my intransigence over the lighting that they wanted to do. I wasn't budging because the data didn't support it, but in all of that arguing and people saying I was going to have blood on my hands for not supporting lighting, we came up with, we could put LED lights in and make the lights down Pine Street a lot safer. We floated that to the power company. They were going to look at it. I think they've sort of since then lost their traction on it. But that was how we handled that, and I think that was a good way out.
Thank you, Mr. Lingle. Ms. Losick, if elected, how would you deal with angry constituents?
I like to tell people that come forward and are upset and share that with me. I first start listening with an open mind, but I like to tell them, convince me. Let's talk. And, again, listening and keeping an open mind. But I'm a big believer that a compromise is nothing more than a decision where neither party is happy. Ultimately, you can't please everybody. You can just do your best to serve your constituents. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Losick. Mr. Noble, if elected, how will you deal with angry constituents?
First thought that comes to my mind is how angry. Second of all, I'm a very approachable person, and I think just a simple conversation and why we made the decision that we made, tell them the facts, generally eases their thoughts, and if we were wrong, I hold myself accountable, and I'd like to be told, so that goes both ways.
Thank you, Mr. Noble.
And for question 9, we'll start with you, Ms. Rourke. Given that public lands comprise 80% of the county, what's your stance on multiple use of public lands?
I'd like to see more input by the local folks who live and enjoy those lands. We've all kind of come up against the federal government mandating that we do this or we do that without ever having seen our lands or enjoyed our mountains or even driven through here. I believe that we should be loud about what we want our lands to be like. I've seen the information coming from Utah to take over the national parks there, and I am unsure whether that would be a good idea or not. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rourke. Mr. Skinner, given the fact that about 80% of the county is public lands, what is your stance on multiple use of public lands?
Well, the multiple use doctrine is one of the things that make part of this land still available to us all. The Wilderness Act, I had a little bit of hand in it, and I see it as saving pretty much part of the country and part of our heritage, and that is extremely important. The federal government owns a great deal of it, and in some ways I think that is very good. I hate to see the state sell the state lands, and I hate to see them go off so that they are not available for our ranching, our stock, or whatever, and next thing would be a hotel.
Thank you, Mr. Skinner. And Mr. Vickery, what's your stance on multiple use of public lands?
Well, I am a public land user with livestock grazing permits, and I've heard the banty around of the state taking over some of the federal properties. And quite honestly, when I see the fires that we've witnessed this year, I'm wondering, could our state afford to pay for those? No, they couldn't or wouldn't. Even though there is, in our opinion, some mismanagement, I think, at this point in time, that the federal folks are doing a pretty adequate job at taking care of a tough, tough thing. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Vickery. Dr. Burnett, same question. Given that about 80% of the land in Sublette County are public lands, what's your stance on multiple use of public lands?
I'm in favor of multiple use for public lands. I think it's necessary to maintain the integrity of our county. I think it's important that we work with the various federal agencies, and I think that's what the NEPA is for, the National Environment Policy Act, which allows for coordination of work between federal agencies and county officials. I think our current county commissioners, particularly Mr. Bousman, is very knowledgeable in that area and has been very beneficial to this county, and I would like to offer my assistance at maintaining those efforts.
Thank you, Dr. Burnett. And Ms. Cross, What's your stance on multiple use of public lands?
This county absolutely uses our lands in multiple ways. We have grazing, we have agriculture, recreation, natural resources. I mean, that's what's formed our county, how it is, and we have to continue to look at that and to be able to care for everybody's interests here. I would like to look at the 2010 state motto that was adopted by the state legislature, and that is some things are not for sale. And while I believe that our wilderness and our lands are our core asset, that really has to be first, because we don't have anything if we don't have these lands. Egypt has the pyramids, New York has everything, it has Paris, has the Eiffel Tower, but we have our public lands, and we need to protect that.
Thank you, Ms. Cross. And Ms. Crossen, what is your stance on multiple use of public lands?
It's the reason I love Sublette County. It's the reason I'm here. I agree with multiple use and believe working with our government entities to make sure that all of our voices are heard. And that also means that as constituents, we need to become engaged in that conversation. 96% of our revenue comes from public lands, so we need to have a voice. I've had many discussions with BLM and Forest Service, so I do believe communication is key. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Crossen. Mr. Griffin, what is your stance on multiple use of public lands?
I strongly believe in the public use, multiple use of the public lands. I also know that the commission can, by law, be very involved in the federal regulations that affect us, and it is imperative that they are. I also believe that going to five commissioners will allow a better opportunity for us to be involved in those decisions and to help to curb the federal overreach that can impact our community.
Thank you, Mr. Griffin. And Mr. Lingle, same question. What's your stance on multiple use of public lands?
I, like everyone up here, I think, believe in multiple use. I do think that the commission should be more involved in the NEPA process. As Dr. Burnett said, that the commission is not only allowed a seat at the table, but is by federal law can demand a seat at the table for any NEPA document. And so if the commission got involved from the outset instead of waiting to comment on a new proposal by the BLM or Forest Service, they could be involved in the process from the outset instead of commenting after it's already sort of out the barn door.
Thank you, Mr. Lingle. And Ms. Losick, same question. What is your stance on multiple use of public lands?
I strongly support multiple use of public lands and would actually like to see more of it, especially in regards to industry, something I don't think we do enough of in Sublette County off the top of my head is logging. We wouldn't be in the predicament we are this week, for starters. But also, as a cattle rancher, using the land for grazing, you know, the government actually does a nice job of protecting the land. You know, sage chickens are nesting, you hear about it, you have to move your cattle, you know, they monitor the forage, and, you know, as well as the recreational uses as well.
Thank you, Ms. Losick. Mr. Noble, what is your stance on multiple use of public lands?
This state was built on an agricultural basis. I strongly support the ag use. As far as recreational, I use all this myself. We need to encourage more of it. And the industrial, we've seen what benefits we get from that. We as the commissioners have a lot more pull and say than I think we all realize. And if we get to the federal level and use our presence, we can accomplish a lot.
Thank you, Mr. Noble. And Mr. Rawhauser, what's your stance on multiple use of public lands?
I strongly agree with public use on public lands. I believe it's a local issue, and hopefully we can make local decisions. But I think our county commissioners are doing a very good job at that table with whether it be the BLM or with the Forest Service. Because if you do not have someone at the table, you are dinner at the table. And so consequently, I think we're doing a pretty good job. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rauhauser.
We start the next question with Mr. Skinner. Mr. Skinner, what role, if any, do county commissioners play in economic development?
Would you repeat the question, please?
Sure. What role, if any, do the county commissioners play in economic development?
Well, I believe the county commissioners should play a very leading role in economic development, whether it is in the assistance of funding, whether it is in the giving the impetus or setting the scenes that may come in the economic development, and utilizing their office and authority and sometimes funding to help the economic development of this county because it benefits us all.
Thank you, Mr. Skinner. Mr. Vickery, what role, if any, do county commissioners play in economic development?
Well, I think the commissioners collectively have so much power in determining how the economy of a county can come about. With the addition of the three new people on that commission this year, in addition to the two that are currently there, I see this commission having as much strength in the decision-making process that we're going to face in the next few years as any in recent times. We have had superlative leadership in the decision-making process through the commission we have today. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Vickery. Dr. Burnett, what role, if any, does the commission play in economic development?
I don't think the role of economic development is the direct responsibility of the county commissioners. However, I do think it's essential to have involvement and cooperation from the county commissioners with local municipalities to create a sound business environment and facilitate the problem solving of our most critical issue, which has to do with stability of internet service.
Thank you, Dr. Burnett. Ms. Cross, what role, if any, do the commissioners play in economic development?
I feel like almost every decision that is made by the county commissioner, if it doesn't initially affect economic development, it will down the road or it will indirectly. So this is the leadership of the county, and the leadership sets the tone for the organization and for the rest of the community. So I think that the decisions that have to be made are with an eye to the future, an eye to our current community and how we can take care of them, how we can grow our community, and keep the health and vitality of our community going. So I think it plays a very vital role.
Thank you, Ms. Cross. Ms. Crossen, what role, if any, do the county commissioners play in economic development?
Well, at this point in time, the Sublette Economic Resource Council is working on a task force to bring the commissioners, the city, the town leaders, the mayors, the council, along with some state leaders, Wyoming Business Council, together to discuss civic leadership. I think they do have a lot, whether directly or indirectly, influence in economic diversity and economic development. The infrastructure that we have here is case in point. We have wonderful infrastructure built here, besides the internet, that we can build upon. But I think planning and vision and education, I think they're all relatively tied together. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Crossen. Mr. Griffin, what role do the county commissioners play in economic development, if any?
I think the commission should be very involved in that role. Should be utmost on their mind to help, as Dr. Burnett said, to facilitate an environment where businesses can thrive here and to be knowledgeable about the things that they can do to help that happen.
Thank you, Mr. Griffin. Mr. Lingle, what role, if any, do the county commissioners play in economic development?
I think the county commissioners should play a lead role in economic development. When the brew pub was looking to expand and the mayor was doing everything he could to trash them, Commissioner Latta, Commissioner Nelson, myself, the director of the CERC, all met with them trying to salvage something. The commissioners thought it was 40 jobs for this county that they didn't want to see leave. I didn't want to see them leave. So they took a lead role there. It didn't work out, but there's lots of opportunities like that. And if we think outside the box, like building a power plant on the green, the governor heard that idea and thought it was a great idea, so maybe we just need the energy to push it forward.
Thank you, Mr. Lingle. Ms. Lozick, what role, if any, do the county commissioners play in economic development?
The commission plays a huge role, and Mr. Lingle kind of beat me to the punch, but one thing off the top of my head is planning and zoning, which on the municipal level shut down the brewery, which did cost Pinedale quite a few jobs and growth. But, the commissioners constantly need to be aware of what's going on and how they can create a good business environment. And there's, like I said, a lot of different aspects they can look at, but planning and zoning, I think, is a big one. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Lozick. Mr. Noble, what role, if any, do the county commissioners play in economic development?
I think I have to clarify something first. I'm on the county planning and zoning board, not the city. And yes, the commissioners have a great deal to do with economic development, and a lot of the good ideas come from the public. Everybody has great ideas. There's no way we can have some of these ideas on our own. So your influence is greatly appreciated, and it's our job to carry them forward to the state level or federal to get it to happen.
Thank you, Mr. Noble. Mr. Rawhauser, what role, if any, do the county commissioners play in economic development?
The county commissioners are mandated by the state to keep a balanced budget. With that being said, working together to keep everyone's head above water and so everyone can move forward as a county should be a priority.
Thank you, Mr. Rawhauser. Ms. Rourke, what role, if any, do the county commissioners play in economic development?
The responsibilities of the county commissioners are the health, safety, and welfare of the citizens of this county. However, they are the number one go-to guys or girls as far as business economy. I don't want to see the county funding startup businesses. I want them to be a conduit for information to businesses that could come to our communities and hire, bringing jobs in, do everything they can, including zoning, so that we present a better picture to businesses who want to set up shop here.
Thank you, Ms. Rourke.
And question number 11, last but not least, Mr. Vickery. If you were elected at the end of your term, what do you hope to have accomplished?
40 seconds. Am I on? I would hope that if I'm sitting at the commission table, people would have a comfort zone. They know coming in that at least they get the respect from me that they are so deserving of. The community that elects the next three folks deserves that. You need to be able to be welcome. You need to be able to know that your voice is going to be heard. And you need to know that if it push comes to shove, you can sit down and collaboration will take place with me. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Vickery. And Dr. Burnett, if you were elected at the end of your term, what do you hope to have accomplished?
I would hope that we could continue to sustain and maintain the services that we have to our citizens. I would hope that we would be working towards a vision for the future of our county and have some kind of plan of action in terms of intermediate and short-term goals for the success of our county.
Thank you, Dr. Burnett. And Ms. Cross, if you were elected at the end of your term, what do you hope to have accomplished?
I look to accomplish
making partnerships within the community and encouraging those partnerships so we have creative solutions and we build the community, we build the interrelationships. And I would hope after 4 years, the next candidates for county commissioners will have been well mentored and well educated and have been guided for that vision that we will be creating for the future of Sublette County.
Thank you, Ms. Cross.
We'll get this sooner or later.
Ms. Cross, and same question. If you were elected at the end of your term, what do you hope to have accomplished?
I hope to engage more people in our community to become involved. I hope, like Doug just said, that when people walk into a meeting, they're treated with respect and dignity, and that they're encouraged to voice their concerns. To me, that's really important, because without a community that feels like they have a voice, what kind of community do we have? So if I am elected at the end of that term, that's what I hope.
Thank you, Ms. Crossan. And Mr. Griffin, same question. If you are elected at the end of your term, what do you hope to have accomplished?
I would hope that we could accomplish that financially the county will be stable and an honest way to continued stability in our finances. I'd also like to tear down that wall that seems to be between the north and the south. This is a county that needs to be together, and we cannot function without getting everybody involved and informed in all the things in all the county.
Thank you, Mr. Griffin. Mr. Lingle, if you were elected at the end of your term, what do you hope to have accomplished?
Well, I would have hoped to have had 4 years of putting people first before pavement and policy, always putting people first. And I'd hope to have built more cohesive communities and conduits for communication between our municipalities and the commission. And I would have hoped to have built the critical access hospital or helped in any way possible to make that happen. And that's it.
Thank you, Mr. Lingle. And Ms. Losick, if you're elected at the end of your term, what do you hope to have accomplished?
Well, I think as a commissioner, for me, the three big things are to represent the county, to settle accounts, and to construct and maintain our county assets. So a balanced budget would be a big one. Conducting the office with integrity and respect for the people and the constituents that put you there. And I think another important one is vision and plan for the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Losick. And Mr. Noble, if you were elected at the end of your term, what do you hope to have accomplished?
I'm going to put myself in front of this one. We've heard the 50% approval rating. I would like to think that I'd come out of this with a little higher rating. That would mean that I have done all the things the rest of them have mentioned in a good manner. So let's shoot for 80.
Thank you, Mr. Noble. Mr. Rawhauser, if you are elected at the end of your term, what do you hope to have accomplished?
I would hope that the residents of Sublette County feel much better about Sublette County after my 4 years in office. I hope to do a much better job and leave it a better place. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rawhauser. Ms. Rourke, if you are elected at the end of your term, what do you hope to have accomplished?
I hope that at the end of 4 years, we will have long-term planning to maintain the fabulous infrastructure that we built during the gas boom. We're an exceptional small community with many, many advantages. I hope that we maintain some reserves, diversify so that we can have good, well-paying jobs, and continue to be the beautiful county that we are.
Thank you, Ms. Rourke. And Mr. Skinner, if you are elected at the end of your term, what do you hope to have accomplished?
Well, it's an exciting time that the voters have were to have five of that we see on this table running for this one office, all with the same goal, to make Sublette County number one, that 23 and one. And I want to be part of it. And I know with the way the changes is, it's an exciting time for us all, the voters, those on the, sitting at this table, who will be the five commissioners that we're going to see great changes for the good.
I started it, Courtney. I don't got to talk again.
Either way, I'm not sure we could have ended the forum much better, Mr. Skinner. I appreciate that, sir. And we'll now go ahead and close with a few words from the Chamber Director, Ms. Grimes.
Thank you, Stephen. I just want to thank all of our candidates for joining us tonight. Thank you, attendees, for coming. I want to thank the Government Affairs Committee again, and, of course, our partners, KPIN, Pinedale Online, Wyoming Newspapers. Join us next Thursday for the candidate forum down in Big Piney. It'll be at the Fine Arts Auditorium at 7 p.m., and the questions will be different. So, and then don't forget to vote in the primary election on August 16th. Thank you.
Up at the sound booth at the Pinedale Auditorium. I was thinking that we might have had some closing statements, but it looks like this is it, and the candidates are leaving their stage positions now, people getting out of their seats. I think there's going to be probably a little period of time of just some chit-chat out in the hallway where people are talking one-on-one. If you want to come join them, I think you probably still have time to get here. Hey, just once again, I want to put out a big thank you to James Thomas of High Mountain Real Estate for making this possible tonight. He was our sponsor. And remember, there's three properties. I'm just going to real quickly hit them again. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail this time, though. But he's got a property for sale at 220 South Lincoln Avenue in Pinedale. It's a townhouse, $89,000. Yeah, you can own a place to live. Two bathrooms, one is a full, one is a three-quarters. Two-story townhouse for $89,000. You might want to ask him about that. He's also got a residence at 26 Industrial Road at Marbleton. It's on 40 acres of land. You can put, 10-plus horses on that land. So if you're a horse person and you want to live in a place where you can have your horses, this is a perfect home to buy at 26 Industrial Road in Marbleton. And then one here in Pinedale, which is zoned commercial, so you can have both your business and your home in the same structure, is at 220 South Cole. It's a two-story, $437,800. And this, again, would be an excellent, beautiful place to live and to have a business operation in the same location. If you want to get a hold of James Thomas, his cell phone is 231-0167. That's the best way to get hold of him. You might find him from time to time, if he's not out showing on property, at High Mountain Real Estate at 107 East Pine Street in Pinedale. Best thing to do, though, is just call his cell phone. Again, 231-0167. And remember that James Thomas, very knowledgeable in both selling and buying and able to help you out during these times of economic uncertainty. Well, remember, the election is coming up on the 16th of November. Early voting is going on right now. The primary election is going to end up picking a total of three Republicans and three Democrats. On the Democrat side of the primary election, there's only three Democrats running. So we're going to have three Democrats, the three that are running, I'm sure will be the three that are elected. On the Republican side, it's a little different. There's quite a few Republicans running. That's going to get narrowed down to three in the primary election. And then in the general election, there'll be three Republicans, three Democrats, and what it looks like right now, and one independent candidate who would not be on the primary ballot. That's Kay Malkowski. She would not be on the primary ballot, but she will be on the general ballot. She's using the petition drive method, and I'm sure she won't have any trouble getting the required number of signatures to get on that ballot. Well, we're going to do this again in another week. We'll be coming to you live from the Big Piney High School Auditorium. Looking for a sponsor for that one, too. Our sponsor is, give us a call during business hours, 367-2000. It'd be a great opportunity to let me talk about your business here during the break. And again, we sure appreciate James Thomas of High Mountain Real Estate for being the sponsor here of tonight's broadcast. Okay, well, I think this kind of wraps it all up here. And Duke Edwards, I think, is back to the station. Duke, you might say a word or two. Let me see if you're really there, and then we'll go back to music at KPIN Pinedale.
I am here, and I'm ready to play music.
All right, let you go.